This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Nero, Book 1 of the Made Men series. Written by Sarah Brienne. Performed by Aaron Landon. Chapter 1. High School Dropouts. Elle sat in Spanish, staring at the clock. She swore the classroom was 100 degrees. With 3 minutes until lunch, she really missed Christmas break. Not once during the entire break had she gotten this sick feeling. No matter how many times the sensation took over her body, she could never become used to it. It was like an impending doom kind of feeling. Elle hated school. No, Elle despised school with all her being. The one reason she was surviving Legacy Prep High was because of her only friend in the world, Chloe Masters. Chloe needed her. Yes, Elle was bullied, but Chloe, now she was tortured. Elle would do anything to keep her safe. She deserved a protector, especially after what had happened. All the money Elle had saved up working this Christmas break had to go to her high school tuition. Otherwise, she would get kicked out, and that would mean no protection for Chloe. Elle luckily had a scholarship to pay most of her tuition because of her grades, but she had to pay the rest by working at the diner almost every night. 2 minutes until lunch.
I thought when you stared at a clock, it was supposed to make time go slower.
Elle was dreading lunch. The students hadn't been able to pick on her and Chloe since the last day before break, which meant they were all going to let out their pent-up aggression on them. God help them. With 1 minute until lunch, Elle turned her head to see Chloe since the clock was no longer serving her any purpose. Her heart broke a little. Chloe's head was, of course, hung down, and she was wringing her hands in her lap. That was her thing whenever she was nervous. She pictured her sweet face under her sheet of hair, marred by the deep slashes on her features. One stretched from 2 inches above her eyebrow, down to the hollow in her cheek. The other slash was 1 inch above and below her lips. Both were on the right side of her face. Elle shivered at the memory of seeing her for the first time since the new markings, and then jumped when the lunch bell rang. She grabbed her satchel and stood.
You can do this.
However, the sick feeling was because she really didn't believe she could. She went to the door and felt Chloe at her back. This was where you could always find Chloe, right behind Elle, for the last 3.5 years. Slowly, Chloe had started inching over every day until she walked just one step directly behind Elle. They had quickly learned that walking side by side meant a bigger target. She stepped over the line into the hall and headed toward the cafeteria, walking a slow pace. She had a system down for the usual hall breaks. You wanted to take the shortest route to the next class unless there was a huge crowd. A huge crowd meant the ones who picked on them, like Cassandra, the school's queen bee. She had learned to never linger because they were always better off in a classroom. The teachers usually stayed in it during hall breaks, waiting for their next class. Lastly, don't look anyone in the eyes. Although Elle never kept her head down to the floor, that was a bad idea. Plus, she was never that type of person anyways. This was the only time the halls were safe for them, though. The cafeteria awaited with far greater dangers for her and Chloe. Elle reached the lunchroom and looked at her options. Here there were 2 lines. Line 1 was different each day, whether it was pizza, turkey, or meatloaf. It was whatever had been decided for the menu at the beginning of each month. Line 2 was always the same, chicken patty or hamburger and fries every day. However, Elle and Chloe didn't have 2 options. They had 1, whichever line had the less scary people in it. It also meant they usually got stuck in the line that didn't taste the best. Elle walked toward the back of the shortest line, all of the other students having thought the other option was better. Elle looked over to it, coming to the same conclusion.
Far better,
she thought. Elle saw two figures cut farther up in the line. She and Chloe didn't make a move to call a foul on it, though. It was better not to draw attention.
"You didn't call or text me one time over break. Didn't you miss me?"
Cassandra wrapped her arms around Nero's neck. Nero grabbed her wrist.
"Sorry, babe, I've been busy."
Nero Caruso. He was the definition of tall, dark, and handsome. He was more muscular than almost all of the other seniors, but still slender. Cut is how Elle described that body type. She could tell he had trimmed his hair over break. She thought it was strange, because he'd always had it longer and slicked back for as long as she could remember. Now that it was much shorter, his hair had movement. She liked it better this way.
"Does that mean you're too busy for me tonight?"
Elle could see Cassandra's breasts rise higher. In the next instant, Nero caught Elle staring. He held her gaze with his green eyes and then leaned down to whisper something in Cassandra's ear.
"Get a room!"
someone yelled in the line. Cassandra snapped her head back and caught them staring at each other, giving Elle a menacing look. With that, Elle was able to break the eye contact. She felt embarrassed to be caught gawking at them. She had trained herself to never look any of the students in the eye, especially during PDA.
"Jeez, what is wrong with me today?"
All Elle needed was to piss Cassandra off. She'd had it out for her since freshman year, when a boy Cassandra must have liked complimented Elle on her hair. Cassandra made sure to make Elle the school's target, and the boy had nothing to do with her from that moment on. The line finally moved along, and they were able to grab a tray. Lasagna, green beans, and applesauce were on the menu today.
"Honestly, it could be worse."
Taking a water out of the cooler, she reached the lunch lady, giving her lunch number to her.
1089.
"You can charge the first week only, Elle. Then you need to either put money in your account or bring money with you every day."
The lunch lady spoke louder than Elle thought necessary.
"We are not going through this again this year."
Elle didn't think she could have felt any sicker.
"I will."
She moved over so Chloe could give her number.
1072.
Elle knew she could have, in fact, gotten sicker at the look on Chloe's frightened face, knowing they would have to make it to their table now. Elle started walking to their usual spot. There were several tables scattering the cafeteria. The studious students used the tables closest to the lines. They weren't picked on, just ignored, really. The tables in the back of the cafeteria were used by the popular crowd. Elle and Chloe, on the other hand, had always eaten at the same table for the past 3.5 years, the one closest to the door. This table was in between the two sides, but closest to the studious side. Just one table full of nerds separated Chloe and Elle from the popular kids, the robots. Elle sat with her back to the door. She liked the full view of the cafeteria. Chloe sat opposite of her. She wanted the back of her head to the rest of the world.
"Did you sleep last night?"
Elle asked sympathetically. Elle knew Chloe never slept much with the nightmares, but today she looked like she hadn't even slept a full hour last night. She looked pale, almost ghostly. Her black hair was now dull as it attempted to conceal the right side of her face. She noticed the hollows under her stark, gray eyes.
"Not much. I really didn't want to start school back up, I guess."
Chloe forced a smile for her friend. Elle looked at Chloe sympathetically.
"Don't worry, Chloe. This will be our last semester of high school. Then we don't have to see the robots' faces ever again. Besides, maybe 45 minutes will go quicker than we remember,"
Elle said, trying to make light of their situation.
"We were gone 3 weeks, Elle, not 3 years,"
Chloe replied lightly.
"Hey, a lot can happen in 3 weeks. Robots could have asked for a heart over break."
They both laughed over that.
"If that was the case, then my whole high school career was one long nightmare, and I will wake up right..."
Chloe squeezed her eyes shut and opened them a second later.
"Now. Well, it looks like no one asked Glenda the Good Witch for help."
Elle laughed hard, and Chloe couldn't help joining in. Elle was glad when Chloe loosened up. They both began eating their lunch, while Elle carefully looked at the robots' tables. That side was actually pretty diverse. You had a few athlete tables consisting of a full football team table, and the rest being a mixture of baseball, softball, basketball, and soccer. This left just a few tables. Her most hated table was the fashionista one, who only bought designer labels and were all mostly cheerleaders. Cassandra was, of course, the head of that table. The table adjoining Cassandra's consisted of the filthy rich, and I mean filthy. They were all boys, with the head being Sebastian, which was Cassandra's twin brother. Elle shivered in fright at not only the sight of him, but the sound of his name. This brought you to the final table, which Elle really couldn't describe. Three guys had always sat there. One was Nero, who was basically the king of Legacy Prep, and the other two were his crew, as the school liked to call them. The big one was Amo, and the smaller one was Vincent. Both were seniors as well. However, Elle noticed a new boy sitting with them.
He must be a freshman.
Elle wondered who he was. All she could see was his dirty blonde hair from the back. She suddenly felt like someone had stepped in her personal space. That was when she realized she had made a huge mistake. She'd dropped her guard.
I have been looking for you all day. I have a little mess, and I needed the waitress to clean it up for me.
Cassandra took Elle's plate and pushed it off the table. Then the high-pitched screech of her voice started back again.
Go on, clean it up, waitress.
The whole cafeteria grew silent at her words. That word, waitress, made Elle's skin crawl, and yet it might as well be her birth name here as far as they were concerned. Elle thought about the two options she had. Option one, blatantly ignore it or pretend you didn't hear it. And option two, respond with either a witty response or a few short words. She chose the first, then stared at Chloe, wishing she hadn't by her panicked expression.
Bitch, I know you hear me.
Cassandra took Chloe's plate and held it above her head. Chloe quickly tried to move out of the way, but two of Cassandra's fake blonde bimbos moved to stand on either side of her, forcing her to sit back down.
Clean up the mess like a waitress is supposed to do, or the little freak will have her own mess to clean up.
Freak was the only other word that made her skin crawl more than waitress. Elle felt a wash rag hit her face, courtesy of Sebastian. She took a moment to see Chloe wringing her hands. She didn't want this for her.
Okay, this couldn't be worse. Of all days to have the three messiest foods.
Elle swallowed her pride and picked up the wash rag. Then she really swallowed her pride when she got down to clean the mess up off the floor. When Elle was done shaming herself, she walked over to Chloe.
Come on, Chloe, let's go.
She held her hand out. She knew Chloe would never take it, but she would get the message to get out of there.
Sorry, you missed a spot.
Cassandra was about to tip the plate over Chloe's head, and as a result, Elle did the only thing she could think of. She pushed the plate harder in the opposite direction, all over Cassandra. The cafeteria was filled with mixed emotions. Some couldn't help laughing, while the others were too in shock of what had just happened to react at all. Elle felt sicker than she had ever been in her whole life. She was seriously about to vomit up the little lunch she hadn't mopped off the floor.
You fucking bitch!
Cassandra's voice screeched higher than anyone thought imaginable.
You are done!
Elle knew only one option remained now. Run. Elle grabbed the back of Chloe's shirt. She was in serious shock, but not enough to hinder her from getting the hell out of Dodge. Elle ran straight for the door. This was the whole reason they sat at the table closest to it. Right before she was going to pass through it, though, she noticed Mr. Evans standing in the doorway. Mr. Evans was her first period English teacher, and the only English teacher in Legacy Prep who believed you could be creative in English. Not to mention, he was nice to look at. All the girls had a crush on him since he started teaching here at the beginning of the year. Shit. She was trapped. Elle stood there, knowing she was a goner. There was no way anyone did that to Cassandra and got away with it.
Elle, Chloe, go on back to class.
Mr. Evans spoke calmly, maybe too calmly. But Elle wasn't about to waste another second of this golden ticket. She had just won the damn lottery. Elle and Chloe hightailed it out of the lunchroom. On their way out, Elle heard Mr. Evans calmly speak.
Ms. Ross, clean up the mess you just made. I can't have other students thinking they can get away with this now, can I? Oh, and when you're done, meet me in the vice principal's office.
His voice trailed away. I am so screwed. No, I am beyond screwed. When they reached the Spanish classroom and the door came to a close, Elle spoke first. I am so sorry, Chloe. It was just a reaction. I didn't want her to spill it on you.
I know, but what are we going to do? She is going to kill us. You know that.
Elle couldn't tell if Chloe was winded by the run or frightened for her life. Elle sat down and dropped her head on the desk.
I have no clue.
She looked back up at Chloe.
Any suggestions? Yeah, we can become high school dropouts.
Chloe might have sounded sarcastic, yet that couldn't have been closer to the truth. Chapter 2. Bimbo Number 1. Elle and Chloe were genuinely scared for their life when the bell rang once more to end Spanish class. They were doomed. The next class she and Chloe had, they would be separated. Elle had art class. Chloe had taken it her freshman year, therefore she couldn't take it with her. So Chloe had health class, and of course, Elle had taken that her freshman year. It was a shame their whole lives had changed after they had made their schedules for freshman year. Elle knew she had to drop Chloe off at her health class first. Unfortunately, it meant double the amount of hallway time for herself.
Great.
Elle regretfully entered the hallway with Chloe at her back. She picked up maximum speed without drawing too much attention to herself and Chloe. Thankfully, Chloe's class wasn't too far from their Spanish class anyways. Elle was grateful to reach the classroom unscathed.
Wait at your desk when the bell rings. I will be back to get you. I promise I will be the first one out in the hallway.
Chloe bit her lip.
Okay. I won't move from my seat. Good. I will see you in a little bit.
Elle hoped she sounded strong for Chloe.
Be careful, Elle.
That sincere, sweet voice made it hard for Elle to turn her back on her best friend and head to class. Although now Elle had to worry about getting herself safely to class, since she knew Cassandra would be waiting for her. She picked up her feet and hurried as fast as she could. Elle took a seat. She usually sat in the back of the classroom, but she needed to be close to the door. She was glad, if she was separated from Chloe, it was art class. This was an easy course, and wouldn't require partners. She remembered Chloe had said her own class had been small, and they had never been paired up. Partners was the worst thing a girl at the bottom of the food chain could hear. Elle sank in her seat when Cassandra's blonde bimbos strutted through the door.
Of freaking course.
When they took their seats at the other side of the classroom, they stared Elle down.
I am completely screwed.
They whispered something to each other, and one of them picked up their phones to send a text.
Nope, now I am completely screwed.
Elle knew they'd texted Cassandra, exactly where to find her. She thought about texting Chloe that she might be dead soon, but she knew Chloe would worry and leave her desk when the bell rang. At least when Cassandra came for her, Chloe would be safe where she was. And by the time she decided to leave, most of the students would have gone home. Right before class started, Nero walked in and took a seat at the popular table, which consisted of Cassandra's bimbos and a few athletes. They each only cared about one thing: status. Status meant their whole life to them. Elle thought if she had a dollar for every time she heard the word status, she would be able to pay for her tuition 10 times over. Elle looked around the room. She was the only person to sit by herself at a table, completely aware of where she stood at Legacy Prep. Even the nerds knew they couldn't talk to Elle. They wouldn't even dare to look at her. Elle never blamed them either. It's a dog-eat-dog world in here. As soon as class began, the teacher wanted them to go ahead and start their first project. It was easy. All they had to do was make a poster that best showed their individual personality, using any materials they desired. Elle stared at her blank, white poster, wondering exactly who she was. Well, she knew who she was, but these walls made it hard for her to be herself. No, she just couldn't be herself here. She was strawberry blonde, her hair reaching the top of her breasts, and had big blue eyes. She had a slight tan to her skin, which contrasted her hair and eye color. She liked that, being different and having character, unlike the other kids her age who strove to all look the same. She believed she looked younger than the other girls her age, although maybe it was the lack of makeup and fancy clothes. She couldn't quite tell. Regardless, her looks did not define who she was. She opened her bag and took out a sheet of paper. She thought she should draw the poster out first to try to come up with some ideas. After several attempts, it became hard for Elle to concentrate. The bimbos were laughing so damn loud she thought they were going to go into heat any second. The hottest athletes, not to mention the king of Legacy Prep, surrounded them. Elle looked at the clock. It wasn't too much longer before school let out. She zoned out, a lot on her mind. Cassandra was going to kill her. She couldn't protect Chloe at the moment. She was supposed to close at the diner tonight, and she had to find time to do her 500-word essay Mr. Evans assigned about who you love the most. Yeah, if I even live till then. Elle felt a pat on her back, snapping her back to the present. I hope you make it to see the freak on time. It would be a shame if something were to happen. That was bimbo number one, the one closest to Cassandra. Then the next thing she knew, all Elle could hear was the squirting of paint all over her. No, not my big, comfortable white sweater. The whole class couldn't help laughing at her torture. That was honestly what hurt Elle the most. Not one person would ever rescue her. All they would do was laugh. You can thank me later, waitress. I know you've needed a reason to visit Goodwill. Elle had dealt with enough for the day, and Chloe wasn't there to get hurt by her repercussions. If she was going to die today, at least she was going down with a fight. Bring! Chloe. Elle grabbed her bag and ran out of the classroom unbelievably fast, her retaliation instantly forgotten. Chloe needed her. That was when it dawned on her. I hope you make it to see the freak on time. She finally understood. The only way to hurt her was to hurt Chloe. Oh shit, I'm coming, Chloe. Elle ran fast down the hallway. She didn't jog or walk fast. She ran. At that point, it didn't matter if she drew attention to herself. When Elle ran into Chloe's classroom, she came to a halt. She couldn't believe her eyes. Her heart actually skipped a beat. Chloe, are you okay? Chapter 3. Fight Fire with Fire. Elle had walked in to see Mr. Evans talking to Chloe, her elbows on her desk and hands concealing her face. Chloe looked up.
Yes, I'm fine. Elle...
Her eyes grew wider.
Are you okay? What happened?
Chloe stood and walked over toward her. Elle's eyes wandered over to Mr. Evans.
I accidentally spilled paint on myself in art. What are you all talking about?
Mr. Evans walked over to them.
I was just passing by and saw Chloe in here by herself, so I was making sure everything was okay. Usually the kids are practically 1 foot out the door before the last bell even rings.
Yeah, I know what you mean. She's my ride, and I just told her we would meet up in here.
How come you met up here and not in your art class? The art class is all the way at the front of the school by the outside door.
Elle thought Mr. Evans' face didn't look confused in the least. I guess we didn't think about it like that. Elle started walking out of the classroom. I'll see you in the morning, Mr. Evans. Come on, Chloe. I need to get ready for work.
Elle hoped he would let it go.
Chloe joined Elle, and they both headed out into the hallway.
Elle, if you ever need to talk, you know where to find me.
Elle turned around at Mr. Evans' voice.
Try and be more careful in art. Next time, it might not be paint that spills.
Nope, he couldn't let it go. At that, Elle kept walking. Have a good night, Mr. Evans. They walked through the school, and when they reached the outside, Elle and Chloe felt like a weight had been lifted, like they were almost free. So who spilled the paint? And dang, all over your outfit. That one was my favorite on you. Elle looked down at her body. Damn, she even got my favorite pair of faded jeans. One of Cassandra's sidekicks. Which one? Her?
She nodded toward Nero, who was standing beside his Cadillac with Bimbo number 2.
Elle could hear them speaking. Nero, would you mind giving me a ride home? I rode with Cassandra this morning.
She leaned against his car, giving him a sweet smile. No problem, babe.
Nero's eyes traveled from her eyes to her chest.
Leo, let's go.
Elle had seen a young boy running over to his car. He was honestly a miniature version of Nero, especially before he had cut his hair. The only difference between them was the kid had dirty blonde hair.
Elle realized he was the new one who had sat at Nero's table. Back seat, Leo.
Elle thought Leo made the cutest face at his remark before they all climbed in the car, slamming doors and bringing Elle back. No, the other one.
Elle shook her head.
I really need to snap out of it.
Elle and Chloe got into Chloe's BMW. Unlike the other kids' cars, which were all various Mercedes, Porsches, and Lamborghinis galore, it was classy. Not too expensive, not too flashy. Granted, Chloe would never have picked something like that out for herself, but her politician father had given her no choice. When the doors were shut, Chloe spoke, her face full of concern.
Elle, is something wrong? You're acting weird today. I'm fine, Chloe. I guess I'm just tired of this same shit every day. Listen, Elle, you don't have to stay. You're free to go. If your parents found out how you're treated here, they wouldn't let you come back.
Elle's eyes drilled into Chloe's.
I am not leaving you, Chloe. I've told you this 1,000 times. Well, we have survived this long by not getting into it with them. I am not like you, Elle.
Chloe looked down at her steering wheel.
Elle stared at Chloe, knowing exactly what she was asking of her. All right, Chloe. I won't fight back, I promise.
With that, Chloe pushed the button to start her car.
Fighting back doesn't solve anything, Elle. You know that.
Elle nodded and smiled at Chloe.
No, I used to think that.
Today, however, revelation had come over Elle. You had to fight fire with fire. Elle walked into her front door, waving to Chloe as she closed it, then rested her head against it.
Everything okay, sweetie?
Elle jumped up.
Oh, hey, Mom. Yeah, everything is great. Just tired is all.
Elle scanned the living room.
Is Dad in the kitchen? No, he's in bed, sleeping. Has he not gotten up all day?
Elle started to worry.
No, sweetie, he just laid down for a nap.
Elle's mom gave her a smile. Even she didn't buy her own words.
All right, I'll be in my room doing my homework before I head to work.
Elle walked through her house, but when she passed her parents' bedroom, she stopped and wondered if she should go in and check on her father.
Maybe later. I'm already depressed as it is.
Elle went into her room and turned on her computer.
Who do I love the most?
She contemplated about her essay.
Evan's English class was by far her favorite. She wanted to be a writer someday. She honestly knew the answer, yet she felt a little betrayed at the moment by her father, the person she loved the most. Regardless of how little her father talks, he would always wish her a good first day of school, and this would have been the last time. She decided to put her feelings aside for the sake of her grade. She got about halfway done before she looked at the clock and realized she needed to get ready for work. She dressed in her uniform, which she hated probably more than life itself. She was convinced it was 20 years old, since the red had turned into more of a burned-out orange. At least I'm pretty sure it used to be red. Elle threw on her peacoat, her best Goodwill buy to date. When she was finally ready for work, she walked out of her bedroom and headed toward the kitchen. "Hey, Josh, how was the first day back?" Elle couldn't help forgetting about all her problems when she saw her 8-year-old brother's face.
"Fine, I guess," Josh shrugged.
"How about yours, Elle Bell?"
Elle looked hard at Josh. Other than his blonde hair, she felt as if she might have been looking in a mirror because of his expression.
"Fine, I guess."
She decided she would need to talk to him soon, find out how school really was going.
"That smells good, Mom. Save me some for later?"
"Of course, sweetie. Oh, your dad is in the living room." Elle's mom gave her a real smile this time. Elle walked into the living room where she waited for her dad to say something, but he never did. She went for the door, but before she opened it, she said,
"School was great, Dad."
She was honestly disheartened. Not only had he not wished her a good last first day, as was his tradition, but now he hadn't even asked how it had gone. Brushing off the hurt feelings, Elle walked outside. The cold air against her skin made her happy. The smell was always crisp and clean. There was just something about the sound of hearing her boots crunching in the snow that lifted her spirits instantaneously. Elle walked to the bus stop, and from there the bus would take her downtown. When she boarded the bus, she took a window seat, looking out at the passing scenery. She really did love Kansas City, Missouri. It was her home. However, the past few years had made her feel like she didn't belong anymore. "Maybe I do need to leave with Chloe." Her stop came up, and she exited the bus, heading down the few blocks it took to get to the diner from there. While walking, Elle didn't mind the noise and action. She liked watching the passers-by going out for the night. However, it wasn't long before Elle's attention was drawn by two men standing outside of the Kansas City Casino Hotel, which was right next door to the diner. One had bags under his eyes. Elle thought he must have been on something. He kept looking over his shoulder, like someone could be coming for him any second. The other one was sternly speaking to him. She couldn't hear what he was saying, but Elle knew he was trying to get him under control. When Elle passed in front of them, she heard the cool one say,
"The boss gave you a job. You don't have a fucking choice."
The thick Italian accent made it difficult to hear with the city noise. Elle kept walking. She didn't care about whatever it was. It was none of her freaking business. She entered the diner and hung her coat up on the rack. It was an old diner in need of a serious upgrade. The downtown buildings were all old, although some had kept the same flair they had possessed many years ago. "Like this dress I'm forced to wear." Elle didn't mind work. She got to meet people she would have never met under regular circumstances, especially with the casino hotel next door. The tips were never bad either. She did make enough to pay the rest of her tuition at school. Once she'd clocked in, Elle started waiting her tables. Monday was always a slow night because everyone was mostly too tired from the weekend. This made work pass slowly for her, forcing her to hear her own thoughts. Yet after today, she didn't want to think. She was one of the two employees on the schedule to close tonight. Consequently, she hoped it would pick up soon, since otherwise she would lose her mind. As the time passed on, Elle was never freed from her thoughts, though. The diner only ever had a few people in and out the whole night. 30 minutes before closing, she started to clean up to get ready for the morning.
In no time, she was done, and only had the trash left to take out. Therefore, she went to put on her coat and grab her purse. Afterward, picking up the trash bag, she went into the kitchen and called out,
"I'll see you tomorrow, Steve. Have a good night."
Steve was the diner's cook.
"Later, Elle."
He kept at cleaning his stove. Elle went out the back door to throw away the trash, planning on leaving from the alley between the diner and the casino hotel. She locked the back door and threw the trash into the dumpster. Elle had turned around to start her walk to the bus stop when she heard voices entering the alleyway.
"Shut him the fuck up before I blow his brains out right here."
Elle ran to hide behind the dumpster. She knew she did not want to come face to face with that voice. She could hear some footsteps come closer.
"All clear, boss."
As they all entered the area behind the diner, Elle couldn't help peeping from behind the dumpster. It was pitch black from where she was, yet she was able to see four men thanks to the light from the diner. One was dressed in an expensive suit, his dark hair combed back. He was an older man. Under normal circumstances, she believed he would be super sexy and handsome. But right now, he scared the piss out of her. He was definitely the one in charge.
"Before I blow his brains out." Yep, that was him.
She noticed the man being held with his mouth shut was the crazed guy from earlier, who had been standing outside the casino hotel. A younger man was holding him, looking almost as scary as the one in charge. She believed him to be 20 years old, though he could possibly be scarier than the boss.
"Go get the car, Sal, and be quick about it."
Elle could feel nothing other than chills when she heard his voice.
"Damn, that man is scary."
"Sure thing, boss."
The third man wasn't as frightening as the others. He might have been if the two Hannibal Lecters weren't standing there, however. The man ran out of the alley as fast as he could. A minute passed, and Elle could tell the poor man knew his fate. He possibly looked more scared than Elle was at the moment. His instincts started kicking in, and he tried to fight off the one holding him, biting the hand covering his mouth. The man dropped his hand before he thought he would lose it, giving the man free rein to scream. Before he could let a cry for help escape, the one called Boss pulled a gun from the inside of his suit jacket. With that, Elle couldn't look anymore. She knew what was going to come next. Bang. One was all it took. Elle started to hyperventilate, covering her mouth before they could hear. She knew if she didn't stay quiet, she would be next. A car skidded up, and she heard the doors open and bodies being shuffled in. Before the doors were even shut, the car skidded right back out. Elle kept her mouth covered as tears started to well in her eyes. She needed to get out of there in case anyone came back to clean up the mess.
"You can do this."
When she peeked out from behind the dumpster once more, no one was in sight. At that point, Elle couldn't let herself think anymore. She needed to let her body take over. She jumped out from behind the dumpster and did the only thing she could do. Run the hell away. Sal stopped the car outside of his boss's home.
"Thank fucking God I'm home."
The piss smell of the dead body was getting to him.
"Sal, go back to the casino and get rid of the tapes and make sure his piss is cleaned out of my car."
It hadn't been the smartest thing to kill that dumb fuck in the alley right where he worked, knowing people would hear the gunshot and they didn't have time to clean up the blood. But he told himself he hadn't had a choice.
"Okay, boss, I'll call you when it's done." "Luca, get rid of this piece of shit and don't come home with that blood on your fucking shirt. Whatever slut you got at home tonight don't need to be turned on by that shit, capiche?"
He was mad at his son. He shouldn't have let his fucking hand get bit. He had risked everything the boss had worked for his whole life. His son gave him a quick nod. The boss could tell he was disappointed in himself. The only reason he knew was because he wore the exact same face the boss made when he fucked up. His son was growing more and more like him every day. He knew he was sure as hell just as scary as him. It was just the lack of experience.
He got out of the town car and went up to his house. He needed a fucking drink after that mess. He picked up the bottle, poured the brown liquid into his glass, and then went to his cigar box and pulled one out. Sitting down behind his huge desk in his big leather chair, he started to settle. There was nothing like whiskey in one hand and a cigar in the other to calm his nerves. An hour passed, and his thoughts became less gruesome. He led a hard life running the family and this city. However, he wouldn't have it any other way. He belonged at the top, and everybody else knew it too. A knock came at his door, ruining his alone time. Sighing, he let out a harsh,
"Come in." "Boss, I ain't got good news."
He was holding a laptop in his hand. He pinched the bridge of his nose and handed Sal his glass.
"Fill the glass to how bad the news fucking is."
Sal went over to the alcohol station where he quickly poured the glass half full. After a second, he decided to say fuck it and filled the glass to the rim.
"Fuck, Sal. Bring me the damn glass and tell me the bad news already."
The boss understood. Whatever it was nothing he wanted to hear in this lifetime.
"Good news for you. You get a fucking front row seat, boss."
He opened the laptop and pressed a button on the keyboard. He knew exactly what he was watching, a surveillance of the alleyway. Luckily for him, it also showed behind the diner next to his casino. The first few seconds showed nothing. It was almost as if Sal hadn't pressed play yet. Then a young girl came out from the back of the diner with a trash bag, walking over and then throwing it in the dumpster. A second later, he saw her run behind the dumpster and into the darkness. He could no longer make her out.
"Fuck." "Oh, wait, boss, it gets better."
The boss didn't like his fucking tone. He saw the whole murder play out. Nothing changed from his mind. He knew what the fuck had happened. He downed the shot glass. He knew exactly what was going to come once the town car sped away. And damned if the girl didn't run out from behind the dumpster exactly how he'd played it out in his mind. Then, she was gone. Sal slammed the laptop closed.
"Who is she?"
He knew Sal better have some fucking answers.
"Elle Buchanan. She works at a diner next door. We do have another problem, though, but..." "Fuck, Sal! How much worse could this shit get?"
He was over it. He knew the girl would die, so what the fuck was the problem?
"She's a senior at Legacy Prep High, boss. She's still 17 for the next month. I know you're against whacking kids, but she's practically an adult." "What the fuck did you just say?"
He didn't like what had just come out of Sal's fucking mouth. And this family was built on rules, and not even he liked to break the family rules. Furthermore, out of all these rules, this was one he would never break.
"Sorry, boss, I shouldn't have said it. I just want to protect the family."
Sal started to get nervous. You never disrespected the boss. He stood from his chair and looked Sal in the eye. Flexing his jaw, he said,
"I fucking say how to protect this family, capiche?"
Sal swallowed, then nodded.
"Capiche? So, how are we going to handle this?"
He walked over to pour himself another drink.
"Leave the laptop. I'll destroy the tape and handle this myself."
Sal left the room at that. His boss had said he would handle it, and he knew he would. Taking the full glass with him, he sat behind his desk again. He had an idea. Not only could he take care of the girl, he could see where an upcoming soldier's loyalties lay. He pulled out his cell phone, and within two short rings, he heard a girl's squeal come over the line.
"Yes?" "Tell the girl to scram. I have a job for you, son."
With that, he ended the call. The girl's squeal helped solidify his notion that his son could get the job done. He would find out what exactly the girl had seen, and if she needed to be taken care of on her 18th birthday. As a knock came to his door for the second time tonight,
His son, unlike Sal, didn't wait for his approval to come in. The boss studied Nero as he walked into the room. His dark hair was wet, and he smelled of sex. For the first time tonight, the boss actually smiled.
He's just the one for the job.
Chapter 4. Real Deal Whacking and All. L understood the crazed man. She was turning into a crazed person herself. She ran to the bus stop as fast as her legs could take her, and when she was on the bus, she stared at everyone around her, wondering if one of them was going to kill her right there. When she got off, she ran as fast as her legs could take her again, until she reached her front door. Her hands were shaking so badly, she barely managed to get the door unlocked. It took a few tries before the key made it into the slot. Jerking the door free, she slammed it and deadlocked it. Afterward, she stood, staring out of the peephole for 5 minutes. She could feel in her bones that someone was going to come for her.
"What are you do?"
Elle jumped and screamed so loudly she practically pissed herself.
"Jesus, Dad, you scared me half to death."
"Why are you staring out the door? Was someone following you?"
Elle could feel her dad start to worry.
"No, of course not. I thought I saw a big dog or something."
Elle looked through the peephole again.
"Okay, this is the last time."
"Well, whatever it isn't going to claw through the door."
Elle forced a laugh.
"Yeah, you're right. Okay, this is really the last time."
She peeped through the hole.
"Elle, I was about to heat up some of your mom's dinner. Why don't you come eat with me? I know you don't eat the diner's food."
He was right, but seeing a man murdered had really made her lose her appetite.
"For the rest of my life?" "No thanks. I'm not really hungry. I don't feel too well, Dad."
She really wanted to go to her bedroom.
"Elle, please."
The look on her dad's face made it to where she couldn't refuse.
"Okay, Dad. Want me to roll you in?"
Elle smiled as big as she could. When her dad nodded, she grabbed the handlebars of his wheelchair and rolled him through the living room and into the kitchen, where she put him at the table.
"Here, let me make you a plate."
She went to the fridge and pulled out the leftovers, making him a plate of fried chicken and mashed potatoes. She heated it up in the microwave and then set it in front of him with a fork.
"I'm sorry about today, Elle. Last night was miserable for me. I couldn't take it anymore, so I took some of my pain pills. I've been out of it all day."
He sat, picking at his food.
"It's okay, Dad. I know this whole thing has been hard on you these last few years."
Elle really did understand. Losing the ability to walk is something she would never have been able to deal with.
"It's no excuse to be drugged out of my mind. I promise I will try to be better."
He looked her in the eyes. He needed her to believe him this time. Every few months he would get like this. The aches and mental pain would break him down, make him swallow those pills.
"I know you will, Dad."
Elle touched his hand. She really did want to believe him. Her dad picked up the chicken leg and took a big bite.
"Oh, gosh.
You sure you're not hungry, Elle? You look like you haven't eaten in days."
He wiped his mouth on the back of his hand.
"I think I'm going to hurl." "I'm not very hungry. I think I'm becoming a vegetarian."
Elle got up from the table. She had to get out of there.
"Night, Dad."
"Good night, Elle Bell."
If Elle wasn't about to throw up at what she had seen that night, she would have been happy. She loved her father more than anyone, and hated when he decided to become someone else, even if it was just a day.
It used to be months.
When Elle finally made it to her room, she threw off her uniform and got into her pajamas.
She lay down on the bed, staring at the ceiling.
What the hell just happened?
Elle had no clue what to do.
Call the cops?
She knew no amount of cops could save her from that man. She would have to go into witness protection, and he would still probably find her.
Skip town?
Then that meant no protection for Chloe.
Nope. Tell my parents?
She knew that just brought her back to her parents calling the cops or skipping town.
So, clearly, my only option is pretending it didn't happen. Well, at least until he finds me. Who is he?
She needed to find out who he was, so she could at least see him coming. Elle decided to replay what had happened that night. It was hard for her to do, since the only thing she could remember was the sound of the gun going off. Then a word started to stick out in her mind. Boss. She remembered the least scary man had called him Boss. Then another memory struck her mind.
The big boss gave you a job. You don't have a fucking choice.
The crazed man had been scared for his life. He had known his fate hours before. A grown man had been scared to death of him.
The big boss. Job. No choice. Holy shit, I just watched someone get whacked.
Elle had heard the rumors and stories ever since she had been born in Kansas City about it being one of the mob capitals of the United States. She thought the stuff was for the movies, though, that they really were just rumors. She forced her eyes shut and pictured the boss. She saw an older, dark-haired, handsome man wearing a suit.
Oh, God, they even wear suits.
Elle knew she had just met the mob boss of Kansas City, that he was the real deal, whacking and all.
I am so fucked.
Elle sat in English the next morning, barely listening to Mr. Evans when he addressed the class. With everything that had happened last night, she had forgotten to finish her essay. The whole morning had actually been a blur. She couldn't even quite remember how the hell she'd ended up here.
Elle. Elle? Elle?
Elle looked up at Mr. Evans.
Uh-huh.
Elle was lost today as well.
Do you have your essay to turn in to me?
Elle felt everyone staring at her. She was sure this would just add to her bullying.
My essay? No, sorry.
Elle watched Mr. Evans walk on to the next student. When Mr. Evans walked up to the front of the classroom, she noticed an empty seat where Cassandra had sat yesterday. She looked around the room, wondering if she'd decided to move.
Hmm, no Cassandra?
She took that as a blessing, since she had never missed a school day. Not ever. If a girl like her missed a day, she felt as if she had missed a year of her life. Cassandra had to be in everyone's business. Thus, missing a day meant missing something potentially good. Elle still felt like eyes were watching her. She looked around the room again. She couldn't find anyone sticking out, though. It wasn't like she was a particular point of interest, especially when Mr. Evans had laid out a strict no-bullying policy in his classroom. Elle heard the bell ring and looked at the clock.
Gosh, next class already?
She and Chloe packed up their things and started heading for the door.
Elle, can I speak to you for a second?
Elle looked at Chloe and hoped she understood to stay put. She walked over to Mr. Evans' desk.
Yes?
You don't strike me as the type to fail at turning in assignments.
I think I caught a stomach bug last night. I actually did the first half of the assignment before work, and by the time I got home, I was too sick to finish. I apologize.
Elle hoped he believed her. It was honestly the truth, minus the bloody details.
That's okay. I wasn't actually going to grade them. It was just meant to see where each student actually stood in English. I will take it that you are at least average, since you hope to write as a profession. By his statement, L could tell he believed she was telling the truth. He was too good at sifting through truths and lies.
Well, 99% of teenagers do lie about why they don't have their homework. Thank you, Mr. Evans. I appreciate it.
L thought he really was a nice guy. No teacher had done what he had done for her and Chloe. At the thought of Chloe, L looked back to see if she was there. She wasn't.
Dang, why would she do that?
It was time for L to leave. She headed for the door. Don't let it happen again, L.
L didn't care about his parting words. She went out the door and went straight for pre-cal. Her butt better have made it to class.
Rushing too fast, L felt someone run into her. She had been so worried about Chloe, she had forgotten to check who was in the hall to ruin her day. As L felt arms around her waist, steadying her, she had to look up to see who was about to blame her for hitting them.
Nero. Great, of all people. Sorry, I didn't mean...
Why are you apologizing? Not once had he ever acknowledged her for her whole high school career, let alone spoken a word to her. What's more, right then his arms were still holding her waist. She also realized up close, his voice was deep. She didn't like being this close to him. She tried to back up, but he wouldn't let her go.
Tell me why you apologized, and I'll let you go.
She looked up at him, afraid he might hurt her at first, but his face showed no maliciousness. He merely looked genuinely curious. She really didn't know what to say, partly because she didn't know why she had apologized, and the other part of her was thrown off at his handsome face and deep voice.
I don't know why I said sorry. It was instinct, I guess.
She spoke to his chest. She couldn't look at him this close and speak directly to him. She felt his arms drop after a few seconds and swore that, before he let her go, his hands made a bigger, deeper impression. She looked up at him again. He had really green eyes. She had never seen natural green eyes before.
Do me a favor and don't apologize to anyone who doesn't deserve an apology. Got it?
He demanded an answer from her. She didn't like demands.
Don't I deserve an apology then?
Nero smiled and took a step toward her.
I'm not sorry.
L stared at Nero.
Is this real?
She hadn't realized the bell had gone off, and no one was roaming the halls. By the time she did, she began to feel uncomfortable. She didn't like the way Nero was making her feel.
I better get to class.
L needed to make sure Chloe had made it there okay. She walked away, far too uncomfortable. Moreover, she felt Nero watching her, making her even more self-conscious.
Watch where you're walking next time.
She didn't have to turn around to see he was smiling. She reached pre-cal and was relieved to find Chloe.
She is not going to believe that Nero freaking Caruso talked to me.
Chapter 5. Don't lie to me. Elle decided to wait until lunch to tell Chloe what had occurred in the halls, since anyone could listen in on them in the classroom. Plus, they would have something to talk about over lunch. Elle found that, without Cassandra, no one paid any attention to them. It was like they were invisible. Some might think nothing could be worse than being invisible, but Elle and Chloe certainly liked being unnoticed. It was like they were on vacation. Hell, Elle would give anything to be Casper the Friendly Ghost and trade in her being bullied days. Anyone who had never been bullied could never understand what she and Chloe went through 5 days a week. Before Elle knew it was 5 minutes until lunch. She hadn't even thought about the murder once since the hallway break when Nero had run into her. She wondered what that meant, but then quickly
pushed it out of her mind. I should be in an asylum, yet I have never been happier. She thanked God for whatever the reason Cassandra not being there was. The lunch bell rang, and Elle and Chloe headed for the door. When they reached the hallway, Chloe spoke. This is the best day of my life. For the first time in years, Elle saw Chloe smile at school, not to mention in the hallway. I know, best freaking day ever. I wonder why Cassandra isn't here. Who cares? I never thought one person was the sole reason for high school being such a nightmare for us. Elle loved seeing Chloe like this. Yeah, me either. They walked in the cafeteria and looked at their choices. They still picked the line that was less intimidating, not wanting to push their luck. Chicken patty day it is. They grabbed their lunches and sat at their usual table. And then Elle leaned over the table and said, I have to tell you what happened when you left me this morning. By the way, what the hell? Why did you do that? Because Mr. Evans said he needed to speak with you, not me. I knew it was about you not turning in your essay. He wasn't going to talk about it in front of me. You know that. Chloe picked up a fry and tossed it in her mouth. Oh, and why didn't you turn in your essay? It was the first assignment of the semester. I was sick. Listen, I have to tell you something. You're not going to believe who talked to me and didn't want me You were sick? Really? That's the excuse you're giving me? I hope you didn't use that on him. Yes, I was sick. That's the truth, and he believed me. Why can't you? Probably because not once have you not turned in an assignment, and you get sick all the time. You practically stay sick. There isn't anything that goes around that you don't catch. Elle stared at Chloe. She was right. She was always getting sick. Her friend wouldn't take the sick card. However, Elle couldn't tell her that she had seen a man get whacked last night. She could never tell anyone she had seen what happened. Elle had watched the movies. The less you knew, the better. They couldn't hurt you for information you didn't know. Well, this was a different kind of sick. Elle hoped Chloe would take it. She wanted to move on to something she could tell her. Elle looked over at Nero's table. He wasn't there. He's always right there.
Hey, babe, can I sit here?
Elle turned her head and saw Nero standing there, holding a tray. Did he just really ask that? And did he just really call me babe? Are you serious? Sit here? Elle pointed to the chair beside her.
Yes, I was talking directly to you, wasn't I?
Nero was definitely a smartass. Elle looked at Chloe, whose mouth hung open. Elle knew right away she didn't want anyone around her. Chloe didn't like new people. Besides, the moment babe had come out of his mouth, she had solidified her decision. I don't care if it is a handsome mouth. No, you clearly weren't, because my name isn't babe. I bet you don't even know my name, so no, you cannot sit here, Nero. That was the first time she had ever spoken his name, although at least she knew it. Elle was sure he didn't know hers. She could tell Nero was shocked by her answer. He must think he can call a girl babe and get what he wants.
All right, babe. I'll eventually be sitting right there. I can wait.
With that, Nero walked off. Elle didn't even have time to think of a remark back. He just said, what? As Elle saw him go back to his usual table, she noticed almost everyone was staring at her, mostly the girls. Elle glanced back at Chloe, whose mouth was still hanging open. Once she was finally able to swallow the food in her mouth, she let the questioning begin.
Don't you think I deserved a little warning?
Jesus, Chloe, I tried to tell you twice, but you kept interrupting me. I said you weren't going to believe who talked to me.
Well, tell me already.
She thought Chloe was going to shake her if she didn't spill.
When you left me, I went in the hall and he bumped into me. I tried to tell him sorry, but he told me not to apologize for something I didn't do.
He actually talked to me and wasn't mean.
L suddenly felt a little bad for talking to him like that, but then she thought better of it.
I mean, what if he is trying to pull a prank on me or something?
I can't believe it. Nero is nice?
No way. He is...
She looked over at him. He was perfect, at least on the outside. However, he had never talked to her a day in her life. She was positive he had slept with half the girls at school. Therefore, he didn't lack for companionship, which only left two options. He either wanted to sleep with Elle or do something horribly mean to her.
Either way, he isn't going to fool me. He wants something, but I'm not going to find out what it is. I know exactly who Nero Caruso is, and nice is the last word I would use to describe him.
Yeah, but aren't you just a little curious?
Chloe raised her right eyebrow. It was missing a patch of hair from her scar.
Elle noticed her black hair was swept behind her ear.
I know I am.
She hadn't seen her this happy in a long time. She hated the fact that Cassandra would be back tomorrow to ruin it. Chloe deserved to be happy.
No, I'm not.
Elle didn't even notice she was lying to herself at that moment. When Elle and Chloe finished their lunch and went to Spanish, Elle still couldn't believe the audacity of Nero.
All right, babe. I'll eventually be sitting right there. I can wait.
Who in the hell does he think he is? Oh, right, the king of legacy prep.
Elle didn't care if he was the king of the world. She could feel he had an ulterior motive.
I mean, why now? Why does he want to talk to me now?
Before Elle knew it, it was time for the last class of the day. Elle walked Chloe to her class, continuing to keep up her speed in the halls, yet she worried much less today.
Stay here and wait for me. We're not going to try to be bold just because Cassandra isn't here. Clearly she's the ringleader, but you know just as much as I do, she is not the only one who likes to ruin our lives.
Elle gave Chloe a serious face. She wanted to make sure she got the full picture.
I know. I'll wait right here.
Elle felt satisfied Chloe didn't want to risk anything either.
All right. Catch you later.
Elle started her walk to the other side of the school. When she reached her classroom, she sat at the table she had been at yesterday. She was still going to leave as soon as the bell rang. Elle didn't trust anyone in this school besides Chloe. As Elle felt someone sit down beside her, she turned and saw Nero sitting at the table with her.
What are you doing?
Nero smiled.
I'm sitting. I've decided I'm not going to be nice and ask your permission.
Elle looked around the room, noticing Cassandra's bimbos looking pissed. Everyone else's faces looked completely confused.
I'm just as confused.
I don't think that's a good idea. Your status is dropping every second you sit there.
Elle made sure she had her best sarcastic tone on. Nero laughed.
You think I give a shit what these people think?
Elle looked at him, like really looked at him. He was much taller than her, but when they were sitting down, she didn't have to look up to see his face. He had dark skin and was cleanly shaven, but she could tell he could grow a beard like any older man. Something about his eyes intrigued her. It was like they were emeralds.
No, clearly you don't.
As soon as Elle went up to the back of the class to pick up her poster, Nero followed right behind her. He found his first and headed back to the table. Elle grabbed her blank poster.